Do you know why rabbis have a tendency to speak for very long? We all take after Moses, after Moshe Rabbeinu. He delivered his last sermon that was 37 days long. And this entire sermon is recorded in the Torah as the book of Deuteronomy. As his parting words to the Jewish nation, this was his last will and testament, and he started it on the first day of month of Shvat, and he passed away on the seventh day of month of Adar, which is the following month. So for 37 days, he was delivering these words. And this is the book of Deuteronomy. Why is it called in English Deuteronomy? Deu means two, which is a repetition. This is the only book of the five books of Moses that its English name has a source in Hebrew tradition, because in Hebrew, all the books are called by their first word. So when you have a book called Genesis, that's the English interpretation of what the book is all about, but it does not correspond to the Hebrew name. The book is called Devarim, which means words, but in Hebrew, there is a second name in Jewish tradition for this book, Devarim, which is called Mishneh Torah, which means repetition of the Torah. So Deuteronomy is actually the English translation of Mishneh Torah, which is how in our tradition this book is called as well. And the question is, what is the difference between the first four books of the Torah and this last book of the Torah? Is it less holy because it was told by Moses on his own accord? Is it different? We know that the entire Torah starts with the creation of the world, and then up until the last chapter of the fourth book of Book Bamidbar, it's talking about the time when Jews approached the land of Israel after the 40 years in desert. So the question is, at what point did Moses write down all of these things? Did Moshe receive the Torah at Mount Sinai, the Har Sinai, where all of the events that are going to be 40 years later were already recorded? Doesn't make much sense. If Moshe and Jews knew ahead everything that's going to happen, how did it all unfold? The answer is actually that when Moshe Rabbeinu and Moses received the Torah at Mount Sinai, he received in a book form only the first book, Bereshit, Genesis, and the first few chapters of the second book, Shemot, up until the moment when the Torah was given. Then, throughout the 40 years in desert, he was writing down the events that were taking place. So, at Mount Sinai, he received 1.5 books. Then, throughout the 40 years, he was writing down 2.5 books. He was given the entire book of Bereshit and then first few chapters of book of Shemot. And then as they were walking through the desert, he was writing down the second half of book of Exodus, then the book of Leviticus, which is Vayikra, and then the book of Numbers, which is Bamidbar. So the first four books were dictated by God to Moshe. He wrote it down. So here we don't have any questions. But now Moshe is getting up to speak in front of the Jews, and he's delivering this sermon, which is already his speech. God does not dictate him here what to write. So is it different? Is it less holy? And the answer is, to a certain extent, yes. Actually, there are laws that govern the first four books of the Torah because they are considered to be holier. How are they different? We know that there are two ways how God can be transmitting the information that he wants to give us through his prophet. Sometimes a person can just repeat what he is told by God without even integrating it, without analyzing it, without understanding it. He just repeats the words. Sometimes he can understand it and then relate to people what he understands. If you want to use fancy Kabbalah terminology, it's called Derech Ma'avir, which means just passing through, and Derech Itlapshut, which means being enclosed in it. My mother was a professor in college her entire career, so she would test people very often, and he would ask them questions on exams, and she said within a few seconds, she can right away tell if a person understands what he's saying or he's just repeating what says in a textbook. Because some people have very good memory. It's much easier for them to just regurgitate whatever they read without really internalizing it, without really understanding it. So obviously when you teach math, your goal is to make people understand it, and that's much better. But if your goal is to just deliver information, maybe just regurgitating what you heard is enough. Not only is it enough, maybe it's even better. Why? Because then the information is guaranteed to be passed along without being distorted in any shape or form and without being tinted by the understanding of someone else. We are not assuming that Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, misunderstood, but at least it could have been tinted by whatever experiences he had or whatever understanding he had. It's very possible that he himself was understanding what he is relaying to people only later on, because his job was just to say the word. He's just a mouthpiece. And very possible that he had to sit down and study whatever information he delivered later on. And this was during the writing of the first four books. The fifth book is already a different story. The fifth book is already Moses speaking. What does it mean that he's speaking? Moses was a prophet, and whatever Moses says is from God, but it's different. The fifth book, it's the information that God wants to transmit to us via the way Moses understands it. So this is why, in some ways, the fifth book, the book of Deuteronomy, is less holy, because it is not directly from God, it is indirectly from God. It is coming to us from God by the way of Moses' understanding. So if that's the case, then one second, what do we need it for? It's less holy. We want to have only holy things. Why do we need less holy things? The holier things are, the better. There's a law in the Torah that says, Torah lo bashamayim hi. The Torah is not in the heavens. The Torah is not in the sky. That's why some people don't think that they need to order kosher food whenever they're flying. This was a joke. Don't get any ideas. Torah lo bashamayim means that the Torah is not in the heavens. It means that our goal is to have the teachings of the Torah materialized as much as possible. This is also why in Kabbalah, the Torah is compared to water. Why is the Torah compared to water? Number one, because just like water is the source of life of everything around here, so is the Torah is source of life of everything around here. Just like water allows things to grow and nourishes things, same thing Torah allows things to grow and nourishes things. But then there is another important level of this metaphor. Water is always seeking the lowest point. If you spill something and your water is getting collected in one place, you know your floor is not even. If you live in an older house, that's a very easy way to check if your floor is okay. Water is always seeking the lowest point. So same is the Torah. The Torah is always seeking the lowest point. Why? Because it is given in order to influence the lowest point. What do people do most of the time in yeshivas? They study Talmud, Gemara. They're not studying Chumash, five books of Moses or books of prophets. They are studying Talmud. The books of prophets are talking about very lofty things, especially like book of Yechezkel. Book of Yechezkel speaking about Kabbalistic visions. And the book of Yeshayahu speaks about the times of Mashiach a lot. So maybe it makes sense to study those, and maybe that's what we need to focus on if we want to be more holy. And the answer is no. Well, we should study them also, and people do, but the largest chunk of time by far is spent on studying Talmud. And what is Talmud dealing with? Talmud is talking about what to do when people are doing the worst things in the world. Talmud is speaking about theft and murder. Talmud is speaking about what to do if people are lying, what to do with crooks. Somebody's going to read Talmud and say, this is what God is dealing with? This big, great, holy being is dealing with two little people who are trying to cheat each other? God doesn't have anything better to think about? Wouldn't it make more sense that God should come to us and talk to us about holy things? And you might think that, well, if you'll be involved in holier things, then the lower things will be raised higher automatically, will become more spiritual automatically. That is true to an extent, but there's a metaphor in Hasidus. If you want to lift something, you have to lift it from the bottom. If you ever saw how they move houses, I witnessed it. Whenever they move a structure, they lift it from the bottom. If they will lift it from the roof is going to come off and the rest of the house is going to stay standing. So whenever you lift something, you need to lift it from the bottom. So when the Torah is coming to us to lift up the world, its goal is to lift us, to lift the world from the bottom. So that's why the Torah needs to address the lowest human traits. And the Torah needs to address the worst situations that we can find. So if you will look at the development of the Torah, you see that the first four books of the Torah were actually dictated word for word by God to Moses. Then you have the fifth book of five books of Moses. It's kind of already of a lower spiritual level because it was given to us through Moses. It was given to us through Moses' understanding. And then we have subsequent books, the books of prophets, lower than the five books of Moses, and the books of scriptures are lower than the books of prophets, according to the laws, how we are supposed to treat them, and according to the laws, how we are supposed to study them. They're still a part of the written Torah, but they are of a lower level. So you have the first four books of five books of Moses, then you have the fifth book of five books of Moses, then you have the books of prophets, then you have the books of scriptures. So each one of them is a step lower than the previous one. And then you have the part of the Torah, which is called the Oral Torah. It is called the Oral Torah because originally it has been received and transmitted orally through all the generations. It was written down only later on. And we have Mishnah, and Mishnah is a very concise version of the practical application of the laws of the Torah. This is where you have all of the nitty-gritty details about what to do with all of these crooks and what to do with the criminals and how to eat kosher and how to slaughter an animal and how to be ritually pure and all of these things. Then you have Gemara, which is explanation for Mishnah, and Gemara is considered to be step lower than Mishnah. This is why Mishnah is written in Hebrew and Gemara is written in Aramaic. And we know that in the written Torah, which is the five books of Moses and books of prophets and books of scriptures, we pay attention to every little letter, to every word, to every dot. We know that every little detail there is important. There's nothing in there which is just because. Everything has a very specific reason. What about Mishnah? In Mishnah, we pay attention to the wording, but we don't pay attention to the details of grammar or specific details of expressions. In Talmud, we only pay attention to the general idea, to what's written, because Talmud is not even written in the Holy Tongue in Hebrew. It's written in Aramaic. So even how it's recorded, we see that there is a lower level of holiness. So now we see that on the one hand, these are books which are lower, but on the other hand, these are books which are more valuable to us. They are more valuable to us because they deal more with our practical issues. Then we go a step further. Then we have commentators on Talmud which were explaining Talmud to us. And then after that, we have the Code of Jewish Law that takes only the practical applications of everything that was written in the Talmud. So now, if you want to be a good Jew, if you want to do the right thing that God wants you to do as a Jew, what do you live according? Do you live according to the five books of Moses? Do you live according to Mishnah or Gemara? Or do you live according to the Code of Jewish Law, Shulchan Aruch? The answer is, you live according to the Code of Jewish Law, Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch is obviously basing itself on Talmud. And Talmud is obviously basing itself on the written Torah. And five books of Moses is the main part of the written Torah, obviously. But in order to understand the written Torah properly, you have to have all of these steps. Because otherwise, you will not understand what God means when he tells you an eye for an eye. You will think that if somebody knocks out an eye of a person, you have to knock out his eye. Obviously, that's not how the Jewish law works. But you will not know that unless you study Mishnah and Gemara and Code of Jewish Law and everything else. So here we have an interesting situation where we have more holy books and less holy books in the Torah. But which ones are the most useful for us? It turns out to be the less holy ones. If somebody is a simple person, he is not capable of learning much. And all he wants to do, he wants to do what's right. If you learn only the Code of Jewish Law, he'll know what to do, what's right. He'll know how to live as a Jew the way you're supposed to. Now, it's not how you really should do it. Really, you should learn the five books of Moses. You should know the basics to have a good understanding of what you're doing. But worse comes to worse, if somebody is only capable of doing that, he'll know the basics. He'll know the rules of your behavior. What's going to be if somebody is going to learn only the five books of Moses, only Chumash? Can he be a good Jew doing what he's supposed to if he has only read the five books of Moses? No commentary. It's impossible, because in the five books of Moses, it says that you're supposed to put sign on your forehead, and he will not even know what the sign is. It's talking about tefillin. So we see that God made this pathway for us. He gave us the parts of the Torah which are the loftiest parts, the holiest parts. But then he said, no, guys, you cannot have it stay there. You need to bring it down to the most practical level. And that's what we have been doing. And by the way, this is why every generation has rabbis who are writing works, writing theses on the most practical application of the Torah for that day and age. And why is it? Because every generation has new questions, whether these are questions which are connected with science and technology, or whether these are questions that are connected with lifestyle of people, or whether these are the questions that are connected with medical breakthroughs, or these could be questions that are connected with political or socioeconomic realities that people face. So they are always trying to apply it to the most practical aspects of a person's life.